Welcome to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If you're committed to growing your business by serving audiences with generosity and real expertise, you're in the right place. This is a daily 15-minute show featuring leaders who believe real impact comes from generosity, not hype. Which means, as a listener, you're going to get the good stuff. In fact, we created podverified.com to give thoughtful leaders like you free tools to show up better on podcast stages like this one. That includes your free PodVerified score, free PodVerified guest training, a free media kit builder, and so much more. It's the first ecosystem of its kind built by podcasters who genuinely want to help guests thrive and grow in podcasting. Visit podverify.com if you'd like to be featured as a future guest. I'm Josh Elledge. Let's get into it. With us right now, it is Leo Young. Leo, you are the founder and principal of Cornell Communities. This is a really fun topic. I had not considered this before. Your website is cornellcommunities.com, which we have all linked up. Leo, it's great to have you.
Thanks so much, Josh. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, you are in the heart of, you are in New York City as we speak right now, and it's great to have you. You know, before we get going talking about what Cornell Communities is, kind of the work you do, I always love, you know, finding out what people do for fun on the outside, and I understand that you've been pretty passionate about martial arts.
Yeah, I think martial arts is such an interesting little craft. It's so misunderstood, right? Because I think people assume that you learn this stuff to be kind of like a badass guy, kind of like to fight people, MMA and stuff, but you know, I think to me, the art stands out as much as the martial part. So, you know, it really is a way of life. It teaches you how to just regulate yourself more, how to just defuse situations and not need it. Kind of just like verbal, mental jujitsu. And yeah, I mean, aside from the forms and the applications as well, I think it's just fascinating to me how I'm able to use like different parts of my body. I think, you know, people in work nowadays, they just over index in their heads. They don't get out of their mind. You know, like you when you're in the dojo or on the mat, like you're there and like you're using your body in ways that like don't really get used before. And to that, it's just so rewarding to be doing something like that.
What's an example of how you use your martial arts discipline, you know, in an interpersonal situation or maybe in work?
So a lot of what martial arts teaches you is to not fight force with force, because then it's like, which object is harder, which object is stronger. And like, you might not always win, and it's going to hurt. Essentially, it's going to wear you down if you face it head on. So I think understanding like what the intention is, like what the force is coming at you and how you respond to it is just as important as what happens after.
Oh my gosh. You know, it's like, I feel like, you know, a lot of times I look on social media and I just see a lot of people just arguing right past each other. And it's like evoking the backfire effect in one another. I'm like, this is so much wasted energy. And certainly like in a fight, you can waste a lot of energy when you're constantly, you know, again, like, yeah, I'm kind of punching fist against fist here. Again, martial arts would just have a different tack. Like you can see the movement of someone, you know, maybe verbally coming at you. And so like a good, you know, a good, help me make sure that I'm connecting the dots here. Cause I think I'm making a good point, but maybe not.
Well, yeah. So I think so. One of the arts that I do, I've done a few, is Wing Chun. So Wing Chun, you know, it's really designed for like close quarters combat. And, you know, how you act is like you kind of have to learn how to move with people, like learn like where their inefficiencies are. Like if a certain position like makes them less, you know, less or like more crossed and like physically unable to, you know, take your force, then that's like kind of where you come in. So, you know, I think when it comes to like business negotiations, you kind of just like, you want to listen more than you speak. You want to get all the context that you can and like know how to get to people, not necessarily to win, but more so to like get your perspective across. I think there's a lot of educating as well. And also like not being afraid to just be like up close with people. Cause like, I mean, even if you're not the aggressor, like people come up to you and like, you better be ready. And like a lot of people, they flinch, you know, they're like, they don't like confrontation, like in person or anything like that. So I think being comfortable with that and like being grounded and your energy is super important.
Well, and truly would allow you to be more mindful in any moment because your brain's not a threat, threat assessment, that sort of thing. Very fascinating. Leo, what was the name of the specific, was you said Wing Chun?
Wing Chun, yeah, that it's what Bruce Lee did, and well, that's the art that he started with.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right, now let's talk about mobile homes.
Quick 180.
No, so I'm on your website right now, so Cornell Communities. And so tell me in a nutshell, explain what you do.
Yeah, so we buy and operate mobile homes. What we are, we're an investment provider. We make money for our investors, and the vehicle that we do is mobile home parks. And the result of it is that we provide affordable housing. We continue to provide it, and we revitalize these communities. That way, it's a win-win for the investors and also the community.
Okay, so tell me about the market right now. Give us a 101 on why manufactured housing and mobile home parks.
Oof. So the market, it's super interesting. Essentially, this was an asset that for the longest time people didn't like because, I mean, chances are like you've seen the movie 8 Mile with Eminem and like Trailer Park Boys, and like it doesn't have the best kind of association with it. But quietly, these institutions, they've been gobbling these assets up because they're like, whoa, these assets perform well in economic recessions, and the tenancy is just so long. Like people live there for 10 plus years as opposed to, an 18-month average for apartment buildings. So it's like, well, this is great. I mean, this is like good long-term cash flow. It's durable demand, and they love it so much. And these Blackstones of the world, they can't get enough of it.
Oh, really? So who is so who so, and for someone on the outside, tell me more about kind of the larger economic picture of who's investing.
Yeah, so these communities, once upon a time when they were originally built, in the 50s, 70s, they used to be owned by individuals. A lot of like, our grandparents, like they would own it and stuff. Now is the time that they're passing on the torch. But then, I would say like 20, 30 years ago, it got professionalized, or it's starting to get professionalized because these number crunchers, they figure, oh wow, this is a great investment. They want to do it. So they've come in on that side. And then now, through a lot of like social media, like people posting on forums and bigger pockets of the world, a lot of like beginner investors, they want to get into it as well. So we have people that maybe they've been doing Airbnbs, they want to get into this, or they're a contractor, like they're a roofer or something, and they want some great cash flow for them. So we're getting interest essentially from both sides. And the interesting part is that for us as an investment provider, we target a certain level of return for our investors. So it's getting harder and harder to find good deals to present to our group.
Okay. So, is it kind of like, are you, are these aren't syndication deals, are they?
They are. They are.
Oh, okay. So to structurally explain a little bit more about how the, in the typical, 'cause I think you work with both accredited and non-accredited investors.
So the premise of a syndication is that we pool together funds to purchase a asset that's larger than we individually have access to. That's kind of the benefit of it. There's the economies of scale. You can put in professional management, more people, et cetera. And the difference between, general partner, limited partner, those are the two seats of these investments. So the limited partner, they sign a check. They're like, hey, look, put my money to work, make this grow for me. The general partner does everything else. So they find the deal, they analyze it, they sign onto the loan, they operate it day in, day out, financial management, everything. So that's kind of how the value works.
And how is the market going right now for mobile homes and manufactured housing communities?
The demand, well, the stigma is changing. The perception of the industry is quickly changing, especially through COVID, because a lot of people, the younger people, the millennials of the world and younger, they're starting to realize, well, hey, like these homes are actually pretty decent. I mean, they come straight from the factory. It's like a new construction home. It's great. You can have your own space for less than 100K, compared to like what the average home price in America is, like 400,000. So, for a fraction of the price, they can own their own space, have their own driveway. So it's a really compelling sort of value for them. And yeah, that's how the industry has been going. You know, a lot of our communities, as a result, have wait lists because there isn't a lot more supply being created. You know, the municipalities, they just don't really like these projects because it's a burden on their budget because it costs more in tax dollars to service than it brings in.
Interesting. You know, yeah, I was thinking about, you know, what you were talking about. And, you know, tiny home communities are all the rage. But a trailer park, yeah, that's a historically a little bit different reputation. So who would be you know, what would be, you know, the kind of the investor profile that you typically work with? Like who is like, oh, you would be perfect for this, thinking into account risk tolerance, all that sort of thing.
Of course. So generally there's kind of two buckets of investors that find this compelling. So one is the high earner, you know, they have a decent job, you know, like a growing family. They want to plan ahead because you know, they have a lot of vertical income. They make a decent salary, but they don't have horizontal income. So if there's layoffs, you know, I don't know, like AI or something happens, then like you're like, oh crap, like what's gonna happen now? Same thing with the business owners. There's a lot of successful business owners. They know the value of effort. They know how much work it takes to actually get a business going. And this is no different. They just don't have time to invest in another business, to buy themselves another part-time job to get the returns. So they want to leverage other people's time and expertise to do so.
Well, I'm looking at your portfolio right now, and again, it's at cornellcommunities.com, and you know, over 500 total units. This is kind of crazy. 21% plus average annual returns. Leo, that sounds really compelling, my friend. What's kind of the minimum investment that an unaccredited investor could come in with?
So generally we try to keep it as low as possible. You know, in the world of private equity, it really varies. You know, like the fund I used to work for, their minimum check size was like 10 million. But for us, we want to keep it accessible. We keep it around 50,000 to 100,000.
Wow, well, that's a nice little nest egg. Okay, and then so what is the process usually? So someone's listening to our conversation right now, and they're interested. What is that typical kind of education process? How do they learn more? You know, what usually happens then? What goes into this decision-making process?
So usually it's four steps, right? Step one is figuring out your goals, you know, what you want your money to do, how long you're okay to have it sit in the market, so to speak. Second, you want to learn more about the asset classes that you want to invest in. You know, do you want to do like storage units, mobile home parks, whatever? You know, you sort of learn the profiles of each type of asset, and then you want to find the right sponsor. And third is you want to find the actual deal that you want to invest in. You know, basically, like for us as an example, like we don't have many deals because what I said earlier, it's so hard to find good deals. Like we probably only have a few opportunities each year. So, you know, you sort of stay in touch with the sponsor team, you learn along the way, and then when the opportunity comes along, you see if it makes sense to you. You know, hey, like here's this mobile home park in North Carolina. I like it. All right, let's go. Step four is actually invest. You know, you want to actually take action because a lot of people like they learn and learn and learn and then they hesitate. And you know, people who don't take action like don't get the results.
Yeah, and that doesn't strike me. I mean, I would want to have a team, quite honestly, doing my research. I couldn't even begin to imagine. Okay, I'm going to start looking at communities across the country, and hopefully, I'm going to find that. I mean, and then, yeah, I was like, what are you going to do? Like, you gonna invest in the whole thing? No, you got to get together with a group of other folks. So, very cool, Leo. To our friend that's listening right now, what would you recommend they do? Do you have any? By the way, do you have any long form content, or maybe you like a webinar or anything, or video where you teach a little bit more about the opportunity?
So we actually do have a mini course that we share with our investor community. So, you know, feel free to check it out. It cornellcommunities.com/invest, and that will send you kind of like a five-part mini series. It'll break you through everything. It'll answer a lot of the questions that you have. We also have an investor center that includes a lot of educational resources because, you know, for us, one of our core philosophies, because I'm also a passive investor, so like I sit on both sides of the table, I want to learn as much as I can about the team I'm working with, about the asset class, before I kind of want to bug the actual person because I know they're busy. So that's what we try to do. We have a lot of free educational material on our website. You can reach out to us as well to get more of that.
I love it. CornellCommunities.com, Leo Young, again, founder, principal. Thank you so much for joining us. Leo, it's been a great conversation.
Thanks so much, Josh.
Thanks for listening to The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If your goal is to grow your business, increase revenue, and build authority without gimmicks, this show is designed for you. Each episode gives you practical insight from leaders who have turned trust and credibility into real business results. If you value short, thoughtful conversations that respect your time, make sure you're subscribed. We publish daily 15-minute episodes focused on growth that actually compounds. And if you're interested in being a guest or you want to turn podcast appearances into measurable business growth, visit podverified.com. You can start for free with your Pod Verified score, along with free podcast guest training and a free media kit builder. These tools are built to help you get booked on better shows, deliver stronger interviews, and convert audience trust into revenue. No more desperate sales. You truly can enjoy all the business you like by generously sharing your wisdom. Everything we offer is built by podcasters for guests with a focus on trust, organic growth, and long-term business success. Thanks again for spending your time with us. I'll see you next time.